At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
EAGLES Eagles.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome in to a Football Friday here on Jacobs Sports, previewing day number 7 of the Philadelphia Eagles training camp. They're 6 practices deep. We saw our first bit of football last night. Who in Jacob Nation caught a little bit of the football on TV last night? You know, I'm not a big TV watcher. You guys all know this. So it takes a lot for me to work all day and flip over to the TV and put something on. And I did put on the game last night, and it didn't quite entertain me as much as I wanted it to. But football is football is football. All right, so we were able to get that on the screen last night. Finally. Trey Lance out there. Just good to see football back, man. Good to see football back. And it does show you that we're in a great time of the year and football is right around the corner here in the great city of Philadelphia. All right, because football in Philly is better than football everywhere else. Who can prove me otherwise? You think they have as much fun in Dallas or New York or Pittsburgh or any of these other cities? You think they have as much fun as we do when it comes to the game of football? I'm going to go ahead and say, no chance. No chance. All right, so we're going to talk to Johnny Mack this morning. We'll get into some of the upcoming Eagles news, Eagles talk, day number 7 today. We are under a week out now from the Eagles' first preseason game, so we're going to talk about some of the camp battles. Defense has looked good early in camp so far. Offense a little bit stagnant at times. It's training camp. Relax, everybody. But I think you're going to be looking for some things there. They've had a couple injuries out there at practice. So Devontae Smith has missed a couple of practices. Nolan Smith has missed a couple of practices. So there are some things there to keep an eye on. Terrace Marshall, I know, got hurt. But we will see how that all shakes out. We're definitely looking forward to seeing what, you know, the next coming phases of training camp. Now we're through like the first, you know, 6 practices. Pads are officially on. They've been on for a couple days now, but I think that's when you really start to see, all right, where's the separation happening? You know, like, it's one thing to show up to camp day 1 and be rotating reps, Keely and Adoree. You know, I think as you move further along here, you start to separate the men from the boys, for lack of a better term, and I think you'll start to see a little bit of that. So we'll be following along that. I want to welcome and thank everybody here this morning. All right, Wayne the Pain. Come on, Wayne. What's up, Wayne? Sig Lord's in here. Chris AM. What's up, Chris? Good to see you, brother. Twiz, my guy, Twiz. Twiz the Jiggle. What up, Twiz? You know I love you, Twizzler. It's good to see you this morning. Eduardo, my boy Eduardo's in here. Flex and Step. What up, Flex? Good to see you, brother. Appreciate you being here. Pin is in here. Joe Witt. What up, Joe? Zeal is in here. We got a good crowd already. My guy Cali Baby's in the building. Brian Fleming. Brian, why do I sense right now on my Xander radar? I just got a weird sense that Brian Fleming is going to have something to say today. Maybe today, maybe on tonight's edition of Birds 365. He's going to have something to upset the apple cart. I don't know if he'll go full Joe Tooney cuck comment on me, but he's got something in the works. I feel it. Jason A. Team's in here. Crowley's in here. Good to see everybody, man. Good to see everybody. We had football last night. We had football last night. Did anybody enjoy it? Or did it just get your blood flowing to see football back on the Chiron? You know, you're like flicking through the channels. And, you know, for the last 5 months, it's been all shit. It's been all baloney. You know, and now at the very least, you got to see on the Chiron, in the guide, NFL football. And you're just like, boom, boom. I don't even know what game it is. Boom. Put it on. Put it on. All right. That's how I feel. So I did watch a little bit of it, but I was bogged down with some work last night. All right. I won't lie. I had a lot of work to do. So I turned it on. I watched a couple snaps. I got the sense that football was back and I locked back into my work. All right. All right. I locked back into my work. All right. It was a long night. I don't know if you could tell. My eyes are a little heavy this morning still. All right. Don't worry. They might look a little heavy, but I am filled with energy and joy and optimism. All right. I'm fired up. Angelo checks in. He says, starting to feel like football season here. No doubt. Jimbo, I saw that. Jimbo checking in. What's up, Jimbo? He says, Big Z, that new ball placement system is different to say the least. Well, Jimbo, you know, it is funny because Jimbo, I'm not sure what you do for work, but I appreciate you for being here. I'm not sure what your life story is, but, you know, in my world, I'm very digital, okay? So I'm constantly using new things and softwares and AI and different things that are very smart. And sometimes you sit back and you're like, wow, man, technology is coming a long way very quickly. So you look at the NFL and you're like, each team is worth what? Roughly $5 to $10 billion. Collectively, you're looking at probably $320 to $400 billion worth of value amongst the 32 NFL teams. All right. Add in whatever the NFL at large has in the checking account and however they distribute that amongst the teams and whatever they're worth individually. All right. You're looking at a $500 billion plus operation. Could be nearing a trillion. And sometimes I'm like, boy, Jimbo, I'd like to see a little bit of an advancement in technology. All right. So it's good to see that they finally have implemented, you know, tracking, ball tracking. All right. First downs, ball placement system. Simple. All right. Good to see it. Hopefully now they won't be messing stuff up. All right. Chris AM checking in with 10 memberships. Holy moly. We're starting off August on a hot note, Chris. It's August 1, everybody. How about that? And then Chris comes in and he just goes, August 1. Boom! 10 memberships for the great people of Jacob Nation. Thank you, brother. Chris AM, every time you show yourself, man, I know you listen a lot, but every time you hear and you make a comment and you're here publicly and live and in person, you tend to support the show, man. And I appreciate that very much, bro. It's very cool of you. Very much appreciated. Thank you for what you did. Thank you for what you continue to do. And thank you for being a great member of Jacob Nation. I love having you here, brother. You're one of our best. So thank you so much, brother. I appreciate everybody for being here. How about this yesterday, buddy? Yep, I got Johnny Mack, so I won't go too long, but how about the Eli Ricks emerging yesterday? A little bit of Eli Ricks making some plays at practice, you know. Does Keeley, does Adoree, do they have to be looking in the rearview mirror? Maybe. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We got plenty of stuff to talk about here this morning. We're going to get Johnny Mack on in just a second. He just checked into my green room. So we'll talk to John McMullen here this morning. But I'm fired up. We had football on last night. Camp is moving right along. We're going into day number 7 today. We're 6 days out from the Philadelphia Eagles' first preseason game. All right. I think we're like just under 2 weeks out from the joint practices. So we're moving right along. All right, we're moving right along. Let's go to our main man, Johnny Mac. Chris AM, thank you, brother, for the gifted memberships this morning. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Hit the like button, and let's get to the man of the hour, Johnny Mac, joining me right now here on Birds. Hey, Mac, thank you for this morning, brother. Top of the morning to you on a football Friday in August 1st, brother.
Good morning. Yeah, August got here quickly, and think about all the work Jahan Campbell's already got, and we weren't expecting him until August. So it's probably the most positive part of the Eagles training camp, probably, because of what was expected to have him in the mix so early.
Yep, no doubt, John. I mean, we thought maybe late August, mid-August, who knows, and then I love your opening line. August 1st, and look at how much he's already accomplished. John, is that right now the biggest surprise early in training camp? I mean, look, everybody views training camp slightly different than the next guy. I don't think it means too much, but I do think it's an important acclimation period, especially when you have a very young football team, which the Eagles obviously do right now. Is that the biggest storyline of camp right now? Just that Jahan Campbell is as far along as he is and maybe even a lot further than anticipated before we came into camp a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, I think by far it is, because for that exact reason, even the defensive coordinator wasn't expecting him until August. So, and the fact that Vic is the way he is and he's not going to play players he doesn't trust, you can imagine if it were August 15th or after training camp, even, you know, there'd be very, very little chance that Jahan Campbell would be on the field in any kind of meaningful fashion for week one. And now it would be an upset if he wasn't. So, yeah, I think by far, considering what the expectations were of when he was going to ramp up, that's by far, to me, the biggest surprise of training camp.
Yep, it's a good surprise there to have our first rounder looking good already out on the practice field. We'll see how he continues to progress. John, we talked about his health, and I think the other big part of Jahan Campbell right now, John, is he seems to look the part as well. You know, it's one thing to be healthier, healthy quicker than anticipated. It's a whole other ballgame to be out there and look better than your peers, or at least look like you can make a difference on the football field day one. We've heard some stories of him being maybe even too aggressive at practice, throwing some people to the side. So that's another big takeaway, John, is that he looks the part. Do you agree? And what have you seen from Campbell in that regard?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, when people are saying, hey, maybe he's got to tone it down a little bit, maybe he's got to learn how to practice at the NFL level, I think, you know, secretly, they wouldn't say it publicly, but secretly, I think, because everything's got to be so politically correct now, secretly, I think the Eagles are smiling with the fact that he's so physical, and he's so aggressive, and he's so, you know, powerful for his size and all that kind of stuff, which we all knew. I mean, that's why if he hadn't had labrum surgery in March, probably would have been a top 15 pick, somewhere in that range. And he fell a little bit because of the injury. And I think I say it all the time, forget about fans. I think teams get way too caught up in being on the field immediately. When you draft somebody, you're hoping he's going to be there for 6, 7, 8 years, you know, maybe not 10 like the old days, but you're hoping to get to that second contract. To me, it's a complete waste of time to worry about, oh, he's not going to be ready right away.
Yeah, John,
who cares? He's been there for 6 years.
Yeah, but John, here's the only thing I would say back to that, because at large, I completely agree with you. But do you think it is a little different for this team right now because of the way they built? I mean, look at the way they're even Makuba, John, like second rounder. And I like to think what you think. God, who cares if he can't play week one, right? I mean, I want the guy to be great in the long term, 3, 4, 5, 6 years down the line. But the Eagles kind of came into the season almost needing the guy to play. You know, they're such a young team, and I think they're relying more on these young guys. And that's the only spot I would look and say, well, I agree at large, but does this team have a different circumstance where they kind of need some of these young guys to play quicker? Because That's the direction they've gone. I mean, they got rid of C.J. Gardner-Johnson, opened up the safety spot. You know, they got all one of the youngest defenses in the league. Do you see what I'm saying with that, or am I off base?
No, I mean, I think it's the same mentality, and I think it's not a good one, especially from a team perspective, because it is. And you know, if you have to persevere with Tristan McCollum in a worst-case scenario at safety for a few weeks, well, they've already done that. You know, if you have to persevere with Jeremiah Trotter Jr. at linebacker, it's a player they like. It's a young player, not as proven, but it's a young player they like. So you have these pieces in place, Adoree Jackson at corner, a veteran player, how he put together these contingencies, these insurance policies, these safety nets. As long as you do it the right way, and there's no pressure, zero pressure for Jahad Campbell to be a star day one, or even, you know, more of a long shot scenario, Drew Mukuba day one. There shouldn't be, I should say, any expectation of that. You know, more so with the day three picks. We've talked a lot about the struggles of Ty Robinson early in camp. It's not that big of a deal with young players. It's the process, but I think way too many teams. Just another one of those outside the lines, outside the margins type advantages the Eagles have over other teams, because other teams were looking at Jahad Campbell going into the draft saying, well, he's not going to help us right away. So we can't use the 15th pick or the 16th pick, right, or all that. You know, the Eagles tried to go up to 22 to get him originally. That's the first spot they tried to trade up at to get him. They were going to take advantage of what they think is a market inefficiency of people worrying about, oh, he's got to be on the field week one.
Right. Wrong approach, John. A lot of these, you're pointing out that a lot of these teams are taking the wrong approach, you know, looking at it in the micro, and the Eagles are looking at it more, you know, zoomed out and what the guy can do across the period of his career.
Exactly. And that's going to bode well for your organization if you operate that way over a longer period of time. And that's the goal. Would you like him again? And now he's trending in a positive direction. He might be on the field week one significantly, and he might be a difference maker, and all that hand wringing, and he's out there week one. That's just, you know, the icing on the cake.
Right.
To me, if he wasn't, and if he didn't start practicing to August 15th or August 20th or whatever, who cares? I don't get these teams.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do think, you know, there's a couple positions maybe where it would make more sense to have bigger expectations. Like, I'll just go to the safety one, and I agree. Your line of thinking is clearly correct on this. But you go to that safety spot, John, and, you know, as a – if you're a spectator, a viewer, a fan of the game, a fan of the football team, you're like, okay, they ship off C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You know, for people who aren't in the know, John, they might not fully understand why that happens. They just saw a good player with a good contract, and you get rid of them. And then the expectation is, oh, there they go. They drafted the safety. You know, here we go. That's going to be our replacement for Gardner-Johnson. Now, you're right. The Eagles have contingencies. They got Sidney Brown. They got other players. Maybe there's Tristan McCollum. Maybe other guys can move in, but I do think that's where some of that comes. You know, the expectation specifically on Mukuba is we got rid of Gardner-Johnson and now we need a safety. You know, I don't know if they believe or not in Sidney Brown. And, hey, maybe the organization is higher on Sidney Brown than most outside are.
Well, yeah, I certainly think Howie and the scouting staff is high on Sidney Brown. They always have been. I don't know if Vic is as high on Sidney Brown, but he's been doing better, and Vic's been pointing out the positive of what he's been able to do. But I'm just a little bit worried about the style clash.
Yeah, right.
And we'll see how that it develops. But yeah, the Eagles like Sidney Brown a lot, the personnel guys. So there's no issue from that perspective. But, yeah, I mean, look, I have no problem with a fan saying, oh, they drafted Mukuba to replace C.J. Gardner-Johnson, which was clearly the long-term plan, yes. But I have a problem when teams operate that way. Like, no offense to any fans out there, but Howie Roseman can't be worried about you needing to have Andrew McCuba on the field right. day one.
No, you're right. I hear you. I know what you're saying here. Yeah.
So that's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, makes sense. Johnny Mack, some interesting tidbits from yesterday's practice. Couple guys emerging. I'm not going to go too far on it, but I did think it was good to hear Eli Ricks made some plays out there. Now, I'm not going to go ahead and slot him right in as potential cornerback too, but I do think maybe he has put himself firmly in the conversation for a roster spot, which is a good thing. And when you have the question at corner that we do right now, and you hear Vic kind of talk about Adoree Jackson the way he did, I don't think it was scathing, but I do think it wasn't necessarily a show of confidence just yet. And you have him battling with Ringo, and then Eli Ricks comes in and makes a little bit of plays. Maybe that position is showing that there's some depth or some at least some optionality there. What'd you make of Eli Ricks yesterday and just kind of how that cornerback two spot has developed through 6 days of camp?
Yeah, well, I think it was positive. Obviously, he gets interception and situational work with the first team. And, people are going to notice that. But I did find it's like Vic was almost foreshadowing. He talked earlier in the week, and he was, a different subject, but he was talking about the cornerbacks, and he was saying, look, people are drawn to the football. So you're going to notice a pass breakup, certainly going to notice an interception. You're generally not looking where the ball isn't going. And that's where a lot of the evaluation comes in on the corners. Are they doing their job? Are they shutting down something from the offense? And that's where sort of the bigger part of it comes in with a lot of things you're not even watching. In the case of Eli, look, I knew that was going to generate a lot of hype because the Eagles don't throw a lot of interceptions in training camp. But, he has those sharp reps until they increase with the first team. I'm not going to throw him into the competition yet, where I do think it's pretty clear that they want to keep him around again, whether it's just depth, can never have enough corners, and he'll be in a position. But, I think he's earned extra reps, and I think he'll start getting them. Especially if somebody gets banged up, which hasn't happened yet, but tends to happen at the corner position, and hopefully it's not him. But he'll get the opportunity. He'll get a lot of opportunities in the preseason games, and maybe he can open that door. But I don't think the door for him being in the competition with Kaylee Ringo and Adoree Jackson is open just yet.
Yeah, good stuff. Johnny Mack, let's go over to the safety spot. We just talked about it a little bit. What are you seeing there? What are you feeling there? Is McCuba, let's get a sense on where he is. He's missed the last few practices, John. Have you gotten a sense on when he might return? And is Sidney Brown maybe widening the gap on him versus McCuba to get the starter?
Yeah, well, he's missed three. So, but he was working pre-practice on – I don't even know what day we are. Thursday.
Yeah, going in.
So he looks like he's getting closer. Who knows? He might be out there today. It's going to be full pads. The humidity's broke, so that's good for the Eagles. But, he needs to get back and play. No question. He needs reps. He needs to play in the preseason games. And today would be a good time. They could probably, they have an off day tomorrow. So I would say Sunday is the day he's got to be out there if he's going to play in the preseason game. So to me, that's the more important day. But he's getting closer because he was working with Quinion and Cooper pre-practice, just sort of doing some drills. So he'll be back soon, but he's got to be back. He's got to get those reps because,
he is at least, visible, though. He's not, he didn't get injured and he kind of disappeared. You are seeing him out there. You do expect him.
Yeah, he's been out there every day, but yesterday was the first day he was doing some, looked like significant rehab and getting trying to get his legs back and things like that. So that's probably the indication that he's getting closer and closer.
Yeah, good stuff there. Johnny Mac, into that linebacker room, I think it's been pretty impressive. We talked about Jahad Campbell at the open, just being the big surprise of or the biggest storyline coming out of camp so far. But, John, I don't remember a time where we've had linebacker depth like this, man. Is this Philadelphia we're covering? Are we sure? We got more linebackers than we know what to do with, Johnny Mac.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it has to do with Vic. He likes the position. That's his expertise. That's what he was a position coach at before he became a defensive coordinator. So he values the position. He understands the position. He knows the position. He evaluates talent at the position better than anybody else. And I'm hitting the wall with Whitman, so you might get a dead period from me, but we'll see how it goes. But, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with just his belief in, you know, you guys should value this position more than you have been. And the Eagles have in turn done that. I mean, the Zach Bond story is a great story, and it's been told to death. Just never got a chance in New Orleans. It turns into an all-pro under Vic Fangio here. N'Kobe Dean, I think because Zach Bond was so good, I think people don't realize how good N'Kobe was last year. He was a top 10 linebacker in the NFL last year. He had a career season, unfortunately, injured in the wild card game, and that's a very difficult injury to rehab. And we'll see how quickly he can get back on the field. Then you have this massive top 15 level talent that we talked about in Jahad Campbell, who can do sort of a hybrid role, can be an edge rusher, can play off ball. You know, Smile Mundon is very athletic. I do think people are skipping some steps. He had a nice day. But that's my, you know, I get a kick out of how fired up people get about day three rookies. But, you know, he's getting extra first team reps because Zach is sitting out right now. N'Kobe obviously isn't back. So he's getting a lot of first team reps, and I think that's very valuable. But, you know, the goal is for him to be a special teams player and develop behind the scenes, and that's what it should be. And that Trotter, I think, is one of the stories of camp, too, because he's just been rock solid. Like, he's done nothing wrong. And, you know, he's going to have a role in this defense. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I think he's still going to be on track to be a week one starting linebacker. And then it's about how you perform in the games and all that kind of stuff. But he's just been good. And, you know, I think a lot of that was he's a very instinctive player. Obviously, he's got the change. He, you know, he comes from a linebacker household. So he's very instinctive. And then he's got Vic Fangio helping on top of him. And Bobby King as well. Give Bobby a lot of credit. But like I said, Vic values that position. So, yeah, this is the deepest group of linebackers by far since I've been here. I mean, it's not even close to anything. You know, this has been I always joke, the Paul Warlow, the Corey Nelsons, the Eric Wilsons, Nate Gerrys, Nick Moros. That's what the Eagles were doing at linebacker for years, just trying to piecemeal it and saying, oh, it's not that important. I think Vic has shown them, yeah, you know what, it could be pretty important.
What a time, Johnny Mac, with these many linebackers. I'll ask you, just from your perspective, John, is it as bleak for N'Kobe Dean as it feels for me? And when I say that, I mean that with absolute no disrespect to the player. You point out how good he was last year, really was a really a great football player for this team, a big part of the defense last year. But I'm having a hard time seeing a future for him here, John, in Philly. I don't know when he's going to get back this year. I don't know if the role is going to even be there for him by the time he does get back. And then you start to look at the long term, like we talked about at the start of the segment. I don't see it for N'Kobe Dean. Is it as bleak as it feels for me?
Well, Well, long term, I think it's the league. If you want to consider it, yeah, I don't think he's going to be here next year. I think it's going to be, you know, a Milton Williams type situation where you can't pay everybody if he plays well. If he's healthy this year, if he's healthy, and again, that's a big if, whenever he can get to healthy, and he's the same guy, he's going to play. I know I say it all the time, and I know, you know, people aren't going to believe me until they see it. Vic loves N'Kobe Dean. Loves him.
Because he's a smart player, John. He's a really smart player.
Really smart player. And if he's available to him, and he's healthy, and he's playing the way he was playing last year, he's playing. And something's got to happen with Jihad Campbell, and that's where I say the sub-packages, the edge rushers, and maybe that's a silver lining because, you know, that to me remains the weakest position on the team from a depth standpoint. And we'll see how that shakes out and if Howie makes a move or, you know, maybe some guys step up and maybe Aziz and Josh play better than maybe some expect.
Yep, good stuff there. Johnny Mac, Nick Sirianni set to speak this morning before practice, day number 7. What do you want to hear from Nick? What are you looking to talk to Nick about? And then just anything else on your mind here as we go into day number 7 that the Johnny Mac eyeballs will be watching?
Well, with Nick, I fear you're going to get the stupid he's going to talk again. I haven't seen it. I forget the schedule, but I assume he's going to talk before the preseason game again. But you're going to get the, oh, is anybody going to play in the preseason? So that's going to be a waste of valuable time and effort. But I do want to ask him about what Vic said about getting Cooper DeJean some more tests at the safety position and sort of, you know, explain that give and take, setting up practice. How do you make Kevin happy? How do you make Vic happy? I think that's got to be explained. And, you know, the false starts, which, you know, Dallas kind of cleared it up, but you want to hear it from the head coach as well. They were working on a lot of silent counts, a lot of noise. So that explains some of the problems. But it'll be interesting. He got frustrated at certain points, so I don't think it went well from his standpoint. But so talk about stuff like that. But I'm sure you get plenty of the worthless stuff as well, unfortunately. Yeah. But those are the most pressing needs from the head coach as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree with you. John, the one question I would ask on that preseason thing, and I agree with you, most of it is probably worthless questions, but do you think it's different at all this year because of how young the roster is? You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to sit a bunch of veterans. You know what I mean? Like, this defense is super young. Like, for example, Kelee Ringo, will he play? Another example, Sidney Brown, will he get reps? On the edge, Jalix Hunt, well, and Nolan Smith, who's only really played 9-10 good games of his career. I know they're starters and you can't afford to lose them, so I don't really expect them to play, but do you think the youth adds an element where maybe Vic gets his way and gets a couple guys out there for preseason?
Yeah, I mean, the defense, yeah, don't worry about it. They're going to play. I mean, you know, Vic's going to play him. I mean, Vic believes the offense, no. They're going to
– offense, I would
and those guys – those guys are entrenched. But Vic believes in playing in preseason anyway. So you saw it last year with a number of guys playing. They're going to play. My whole point is it's not really a – you know, it's something Nick isn't going to answer, number one, so it's a waste of time.
Right.
And then when Vic talks next, he'll get the question. He'll say, yeah, they're going to play. They're going to play. The guys who are competing are going to play.
Right.
He's already said that. So, yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
Good stuff there, Johnny Mac. All right, John, any final thoughts here before I let you run on a day number 7, John, out on the practice field, the football Friday edition. They'll be off tomorrow, and I believe the reason they're off tomorrow is because they got the Thursday game next week, so they want to get the week going early to kind of start to – I don't know if they care about the preseason game, but I do think they maybe do a little mental run through to prep so they can get ready for games in the season. John, any final thoughts from you on this day number 7, Football Friday edition, before practice?
Nope, I've arrived. It's time to go in. It's time to go in.
Oh, I got one super, John. I got to read one super to you. Brian Fleming checked in. So before I let you run, all right, J-Mac, Trey Lance looked good last night, and we've established this week that Herbert is a cuck that throws more picks in the playoffs than Lance did as a Cowboy. Do you see a QB controversy emerging?
How much did Brian pay to sound like an idiot? I don't know. I don't know what to tell him.
$10 if you got him, Mac. That's
one guy one guy sitting on the sideline because he's not competing. Again, come on. Elevate. Football IQ. Get some sense. But thanks for the $10.
All right, Johnny Mac. Enjoy the practice today. We'll talk to you tonight on a nightcap edition of Birds 365.
All right, see you guys.
All right, see you, Johnny Mac. There's Johnny Mac joining us right here on Football 24/7. Great stuff from Johnny Mac. Brian Fleming, he shot it down about as fast as I thought he would. All right? He shot it down about as quick as I thought he would. Actually, Brian, it might have been a little quicker than I thought. He hit you with an elevate the conversation, baby. Elevate. Who knows that Drake song? Elevate. Elevate. That's great. All right, great stuff. Good. By the way, good conversation there with Johnny Mac. I love talking to John. Especially when it's fresh in the morning. You only got 15, 20 minutes. You can rattle off some things, get some good responses from him. I thought that was a good conversation there with Johnny Mac. Team's moving right along, guys, in practice in camp right now. And they're prepping now for the full season and everything that we have ahead of us. But you can see where the battles are really emerging and where they're not, you know. But I do think there's a lot of good. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of questions, too. I think, what's your guys' biggest question right now? All right, as a fan base. What is your biggest, your personal. What is your personal biggest question right now? Is it safety? Is it corner? If you're like me, it's probably a combination of those two. Is it offense? Is it right guard? What is your guys' personal biggest concern as we now get ready? We're within a week from preseason. I want to say we're 33 days away or 32 days away maybe from the opener. How long until September? 34 days away. Showing up says CB2. Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I got a little bit of concern. Not concern, but a little bit of questions at the safety spot. Just because I don't know. You know, are we relying on a rookie? You know, I don't know. Like, dude, I like Makuba. I think he could be long term, kind of like John said. But we need 1 year. Like I'm talking about 1 year with a chance to go back and repeat. You know. Niall, what's up, Niall? He says CB2, corner safety for Fleming. I'm with you, Fleming. Dirty air, safety and corner. I agree, brother. Eduardo says, are we moving on from Dean after this season? I think so, Eduardo. I think John explained it properly. I agree with that. Safety or edge for me? JB3. All right, so in the Johnny Mac camp. Big Mike also going with the edge. Abe goes right guard. Okay, Abe. I can't tell you I'm super confident in Steen, Abe. But I do feel a little bit better just because of Jeff Stoutland. And by the way, Lane Johnson on your right, Cam Jurgens, Landon Dickerson, Jordan Mailata on your left. Like, talk about a rising tide lifts all boats. I mean, I you could put a fucking traffic cone in there and they might be decent because of who's playing next to them. You know, I don't know. Those four offensive linemen that I just named are damn near good enough to play the role of five. That's how good those four are. All right? That's how good those four are. SMD, what's up, SMD? Good to see you in here, Maria. I hope you had a great summer. It's good to see you back in here. Hopefully we start to see you consistently. You're one of my favorite viewers. SMD Eagles has been here, for those who don't know. I don't know, SMD, since Jacob had what? 1,000 subs? 1,400 subs? Now, that's a long time. So you've seen it all, man. You've seen it all. It's pretty cool. Good to see you in here. I appreciate you coming back. Edge depth. Joe Whip says edge depth, otherwise stacked. We'll see. Johnny Mac has got everybody a little concerned about that edge, man. Abe says, Xander, I don't know, man. Becton took that position just because of a sprained ankle. That's true. We'll see. We'll see. Matt Pryor will start. Right now, it doesn't look like it. Right now, it doesn't look like it, SMD. I think it's actually going to be Steen. But I was with you coming into camp where I thought Pryor would win that job. But John's telling me, look, it's Steen. I mean, and Stoutland says it's Steen. That's who he's putting with the first team reps every single time. All the offensive linemen next to him are treating him as the first team guy. Like, it's Steen. Now, I thought Pryor would get it too, but we'll see. R. Anthony says, where does Nolan Smith fit in? I don't know what you mean. He's the starting edge rusher. He needs to be the number one. He needs to be the guy that takes over some games at times. Now, is he ready to do that? That would be a fair question to ask. I happen to think that none of my questions on Nolan Smith have anything to do with his talent as a football player. I think the kid's going to be a fucking stud. I think he's way better than people give him credit for. I think he is phenomenal for his size and the way he uses his strength. I mean, you don't see a edge rusher his size that can set the edge the way he does. Quick rusher, got great moves. I love Nolan Smith. The question there would be, is there injury concerns? All right, smaller guy. You know, I don't know what that looks like, R. Anthony. But I do think I feel pretty damn good, honestly, about him on the edge. And I feel good about Jalix, too. I know. I mean, look, you know, maybe there is some fandom there where it's like, all right, you're putting the cart before the horse. And, you know, they haven't done enough to feel that way. But, dude, it's one thing to have blind optimism. It's another thing to look at how the last couple years have gone. Look at the way the team is drafted. Look at the way the team has developed young talent. Look at the one, like, if you add everything up, the way the Eagles have done it have clearly given them a better odds to succeed than other guys who might be relying on a second-year player you know nothing about. So it's not just like, hey, we've sucked at drafting for 5 years, but I promise this is the year we turn it around. It's really not like that. In fact, it's the inverse of that. We've been so good, you would have to go out on a limb to say, the young guys aren't going to be good. Like, it would be more of a, in my estimation, it would be more of a gamble to say that than say that the young guys are going to be good. Just going off the track record in the last 3-4 years. Fly Eagles. What's up, Fly Eagles? Corner. People are going to go hard after the corner opposite Q. I would too. I've been iffy about it since Rodgers left. We'll see, man. We'll see. I feel like you're right, but how much is that mitigated with the safety play? Because hypothetically, hear me out here. If you got Quinion on the left and then you have either Makuba or Brown, okay, maybe a weak spot there at safety, but you have Quinion on that side as well. If you go over to that other side, and let's just say Kelee Ringo's there right now, you do have Reed Blankenship back there who is an much more experienced football player. Does that kind of lessen the hole for a team to attack? I know it's not perfect, but I'm saying, if you had Brown and Kelee Ringo, you know, in one side, in one area of the secondary, boy, I think teams would have a field day with that. But because you have a little bit of experience on both sides, maybe that helps balance it out a little bit. They can feed off one another and make it a little bit harder. I mean, if you obviously the quarterback, other opposing quarterbacks will be able to thread the needle here and there, but I don't know if they'll be able to come into it and just say, we're going at that guy all game. Because, hey, I'll bring in Reed Blankenship for help. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. That's kind of how I see that. I don't know if I'm right or not. We will see. We will see. Penn says, Makuba's scaring me. We'll see. I'm worried about the body holding up on him, man. I don't know if it's a talent thing for my questions on Makuba. It's a lot more so, will the body hold up? You know, physical player, played very physical at Texas. Will the body hold up? I don't know. I hope you're right, Z. Me too. Fly Eagles. All right. Bobby Murphy checks in. Exactly. Look at the Cowboys' last first-round picks. Mozzie and Guyton both saw. Exactly, Bobby. And that's why it would be harder to project for that team. I'm happy you knew exactly what I meant, by the way, Bobby, because I don't know if I explained it good. But you look at the Cowboys, you're like, should I really rely on our first-round pick? Versus the Eagles, it's like, who's the fucking last first-round pick that didn't hit on? Rager? Like we're on a good track record right now. I'm not gonna sit here and sell you, you know, fear and pessimism when I really don't even think there's a reason to. I mean, the track record shows you that they've corrected a lot of those things. That doesn't mean they'll be perfect and there's no opportunity for failure on any of these guys. But, you know, overall, I think there's a better reason to be optimism than reason to be pessimistic about it. Shonuff says, too early for Nolan to have a concussion. He needs to pick his head up. Yeah, especially with the way he plays show. Dirty Air says, being it's a compounding injury, I'd hate to see that be an occurrence this year. Dirty Air, let me see what you're talking about. Okay, you're talking about the concussion as well. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see about that one. Devin Shanahan checks in. What up, Devin? Sorry, man. Yeah, he says, believe I'm further back. J-Mac is unintentionally funny. How much did Brian pay to sound like an idiot? Get some sense. Thanks for the $10. That's a J-Mac for you. Devin, I picked up on that too, brother. It was funny. J.H., what up, J.H.? Not to be confused with Jalen Hurts. We have to remember, it takes a few weeks for things to come together. Last year, week four, the talking point was zero quarterback pressure. Then six sacks in the Super Bowl. Good point, J.H. Good point. You know, you're all building toward the big goal, you know, and it doesn't have to look perfect week one. You know, you are right about that. You are right about that. So team's in a good spot. Feels like the team's in a good spot. I mean, I just opened up the panel and kind of asked everybody, you know, what's your biggest concern? And, you know, I agree with a lot of you. I think there are some real concerns there, some real things to discuss and talk about and keep an eye on. But, you know, overall, it looks pretty good. All right. That's my general honest feeling. It looks pretty good. I mean, every team, there's not a team in football that comes into the season without some questions. It's just the reality. It's just the nature of the beast, you know. It's just the nature of the beast. So I think we feel pretty good about where we are heading into the year this year for the Philadelphia Eagles. 34 days out from the opening game. What are we, 6 days out? Yeah, next Thursday night's that preseason game. So that should be good. That should be fun. All right, that should be pretty fun. I'll stream a little bit for that. Got to get a little cup of Dunkin' in me. I'm almost done my big old Dunkin'. What is this, like a 24-ouncer? That's my daily coffee. How much coffee are you guys drinking on a daily basis? So are you a 24-ouncer? Are you a Wawa little shrimper, like 8 ounces? Anybody an espresso person? How much coffee are we drinking in this show? Huh? There she is. Member for 12 months. Thank you so much. She says, been on vacation all summer. It's great to be back. Got to see one of the wonders of the world. Holy shit, I cried. Great to be back. Go Birds. Wow, look at that. Look at that. One, what does that mean? One of the wonders of the world. See, I'm not like a real experienced traveler. What wonder did you see? I know, what is there? There's seven, right? There's seven, right? Seven wonders. Is that how it works? I think there's seven wonders of the world. Somebody that like travels a lot more than me is going to have to fucking help me out with this. All right. 16-ounce homebrewed. All right, Mike. Izzy B, 1 16-ounce a day. It's about right for you, Izzy. That's about right. Holy shit, Chris AM, another 10 gifts. Wow. Joe, why is that so on brand for you? I do not drink coffee. I drink tea. DeShay's going to Egypt in November. Love it, brother. Enjoy. That's mid-Eagle season for me, so I wouldn't even consider that trip. DeShay, I love you. I appreciate you. But don't sign me up for a trip to fucking Egypt in November. You know what I call November? Eagle season, baby. I need SMD to clarify what wonder of the world she saw. There's seven of these things. There's seven of these things. There's seven wonders. Thanks, Drew Pauly. All right. There it is. I flew via helicopter over Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. Holy shit. Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. Where is this? I know it's Zimbabwe. I'm trying to look at the seven wonders of the world list. Wait a second. Why is this not showing up on the wonders of the world that I looked up? Why is it not showing up? Is this fake news? Largest figure on Earth, is that right? All right, you got the Great Wall of China, Chichen Itza in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. Yeah, I am not a traveler. You guys can tell. Petra, the ancient city of Petra, Jordan. Machu Picchu. How about this wonder of the world? Lincoln Financial Field. That's my only wonder, SMD. How's Lincoln Financial Field? Is that a wonder of the world? That's where I'm going. Nah, that's awesome. That's awesome. I hope you had a lot of fun. That's pretty sick. That's pretty sick. All right. That's pretty sick. I would never fly in a helicopter in Zimbabwe. Actually, Siglord, I'll take you a step further. I don't know if it's the Kobe Bryant syndrome now. I legitimately do not think I will ever get in a helicopter. I don't think it's worth it. I don't want to get in a helicopter. You know, I'm not afraid of death. I don't fear death. All right. I believe the Lord will bring me home and the Lord wants to bring me home. But at the end of the day, man, I ain't playing with that fire. Okay. I'm not a fearful man, but I ain't getting in no fucking helicopter. All right. I'm just not doing it. All right. Helicopter SMD. I hope you had a great time. For anybody that likes the helicopters, I hope you enjoy yourself. I'm fucking good on the helicopter. All right. No, thank you. No, thank you. I mean, I'm out. Yeah, I believe that. The only way to see it is helicopter. I believe that for sure. Black African people hate American black. Are you black? Are you? I guess there is obviously a big difference, but I don't know, Deshae. I can't speak on that. I'm a white dude, bro. I'm a white guy, bro. Deshae, how do you expect me to answer that comment? All right. Look at this. That's the best wonder. Look at that, SMD. You got to see a good one. You got to see a good one. All right. You got to see a good one. Good morning, Philly to Chicago. Shownup says, helicopter ride is cool. I did it 3 times. That's 3 times more than I'll ever do it, show. All right. I was in a mishap in a balloon once. All right. Now that, all right, Joe, I'm going to judge you for a second, Joe. That to me is even more insane than a helicopter. At least with a helicopter, it's like, all right, I feel like this pilot is pretty competent. Now, there's some variables that could mess us up, but I'm getting in a fucking hot air balloon. No, thank you. No. That is crazy to me. A hot air balloon sounds nuts to mine, in my eyes. All right? Sounds nuts to me. I want to read about this, it wasn't scary. SMD, look, I'm happy for you. I just don't think I would go down that road. It's just me. It's just I called it the Kobe syndrome. Kobe scarred me with that, man. If Kobe Bryant's pilot can crash, anybody can fucking crash. And I know it's like people go, "Whoa, you could get in a car accident." I'm like, all right, I know the odds are still better. It was great, Xander, until the end in Australia. Now, I don't mind an elevator, Paul. I can live. I'm good with an elevator. Not my favorite thing in the world. You know, Paul, I'm getting a little older. Yeah, I sit in my computer screen a lot, Paul. You know, if the steps are an option, I like to give myself a feel-good story and just say, get the steps, right? Get the work in, all right? You don't need to be lifted in a helicopter. If there's a pair of steps, I'm getting on the steps. How's that? Victoria Falls is incredible. I legit cried. That's awesome, SMB. I'm really pumped for you that you had a great summer. That's really cool. That's really dope. This guy says, my last name is Murphy, not pushing my luck. That's pretty funny, man. That's pretty funny. Chris, thanks for the gifteds, bro. 20 freaking gifted members this morning, Chris. Thank you, man. Thank you, brother. By the way, we're going to have a nightcap edition of Birds 365 tonight, so we'll have content late into the evening, and I'm looking forward to it, all right? I'm looking forward to it. I have to get out more. Paul, I get out plenty, trust me. Right now, I'm in grind mode, Paul, all right? You know, you work your ass off in life to set yourself up, to put yourself in a good position, all right? And that's what I'm doing right now. I'm not worried about getting out right now. Everybody's been telling me that. It's like I got out a lot before I started grinding my face off. I also get out a lot now too. All right, don't be fooled. I do a lot. I love working though, Paul. This is my baby. You know, this is my baby. I love working. Dirty Air says that's the thing about helicopters versus planes. Helicopters fall out of the sky. Airplanes can glide a long way. It's so true, even with no power. Right, aerodynamically built better to handle any mishaps. Dirty Air, agreed. Didn't see it yet, Abe. I'll check it out once I get off the air, right, dude? I appreciate you doing it, though, Abe. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, Chris is dope, man. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Lightbringer says, I'm convinced they knocked Kobe off. Just too ironic. Yeah, I won't get into that, but who knows what happened, man. Who knows what happened. It did scar me from helicopter, though. I wasn't like big on hell. I wasn't like itching to get in a helicopter before that, but it definitely changed. Oh, here we go. Matthew Peters following up on the license plate. I need some license plate ideas. All right. He says, hey, Xander, how about Zandman for the license plate? It's not bad, Matthew Peters. My uncle used to call me Zandman back in the day. You know, my uncle is, I think that's where I got my love for cars is my uncle. He builds like these old, my uncle is. You know, you ever meet somebody and not to make everything about like money, but do you ever meet somebody and you're like, it's amazing this dude isn't loaded. Like he's just so impressive. He knows so much shit. He's got such a way about doing things. Like, how did you not make it big? My uncle is unreal at this stuff. Like I used to always say to him, I don't know how your skills haven't. You know, he worked a job and he'd love to do things on the side and there's a lot there, but he used to get C1, C2, C3 Corvettes and when I don't say redo them and make them nicer. Like he made them like perfect. People would travel from across the country to buy them from him. But he would do one at a time and he had kids and everything, so you know, he would have to go years off before he did one, but he made an awesome garage and he put in at the top of the garage. This is when I was real young, where I used to work on his old Corvettes and stuff. And he didn't buy them to drive them. He bought them to fix them and sell them. You know, he loved working on them. But I used to say he could eat food off the door sills. That's how clean all his cars were, no matter how old. But he built a garage. By the way, he built his house from scratch, my uncle. Literally from scratch. But started the family, had his first kid on the way, goes out in the woods and starts literally laying the wood for the house. Built a log cabin up in upstate New York. In the top of the garage, he used to have Welcome to the Xander Zone. And I used to love that, man, when I was a kid. I think that kind of gave me my love for cars originally, because we would travel to his house and I'd love seeing my uncle, because I'd walk into the garage, he would say, Welcome to the Xander Zone. He'd have like RC cars, he'd have the Corvettes, he'd have all sorts of shit, man. A total dude's garage. He was a big hunter too. He loves hunting. One of the best hunters of all time. He was actually on the cover of Hunting Magazine when he was younger. Tony Conti Hunting Magazine. I'd love to find that cover. If I can find that cover for you, man, that would be so cool. My uncle is such a savage, man. Come on, I got it. See, this like it was like before the internet was a thing. That's pretty cool. Now, Uncle Tony. Tony Conti, man. I told you, my mom's 100% Italian. I got all my uncles. Frank, Tony, Pam, and Gigi. That's my mom is Gigi. So, yeah, I wish I could find the magazine cover. I might have it. I probably have it in my folder. But, yeah, he's a dope uncle, man. He's great. Really awesome. So, Here's Sig Lord. M. Reyes had the best license plate idea. Z's nuts. I'm not doing that. Zelch. How's that? I got a few wild hunting. So my brother's into hunting too, Dirty. I know you talked to him this week, by the way. I was really pumped to hear that, Gary. So I hope you guys can work something out. I told you, man, my brother's a, you know, once he gets an idea, he's the kind of guy that wants to enact on it, you know, put it into action. So that'd be really cool if you guys did some stuff together at NASCAR. So really dope. I'm going to find that magazine cover. I'm going to have it for you guys in the future. I don't have it today, but I'm going to get it. Let me see if I can find it on my phone. I want to show you. It's fucking sick. So my uncle, this is the story, the way he told it to me. And he's not really a braggadocious guy. He's just in, like, he's, I'm telling you, this is why I said it blew my mind when I was young that he wasn't rich. Because I was like, you're so good at everything. But he was at a big hunting convention back in the day. And they were doing I don't know how many yards it was. It was a lot for a bow. All right. He's a bow hunter. He likes bows. It was a lot for a bow. And they were doing a competition at this hunting thing. And it was for Hunting Magazine. Literally for Hunting Magazine. And it was like a big venue. This is back before the internet, though. This is probably, you know, early 90s, maybe late 80s. And everybody's lined up trying to hit this target real far away. And it's a competition at this venue. And my uncle walks up and nobody could hit it. And he walks up and he goes, you know, I used their bow, not even my own bow. So it wasn't dialed in how I like it dialed in. And I lined it up, you know, very first pull, boom, hit it right in the bullseye. And then he goes, all right, now I got the sense of the bow. So he said he honed it in and boom, three straight bullseyes. And everybody around him is just looking at him like, and that's how he got on Hunting Magazine. Because the Hunting Magazine people were there and were like, what the fuck? I've never seen a guy be able to shoot a bow as good as you. He's that good, man. It's eerily impressive. It's crazy impressive. I'm telling you, he's like, people kill to want to hunt with him. It's really cool. Really cool. I'd love to find the magazine cover. I don't have it, though. He's dope. His son is one of my best friends, my cousin Anthony. So, dope stuff there. Hunting trade show. I'm not sure what it was, man. I'm going to call him today and see if I can get the picture from him. Yeah, we are doing some awesome stuff. Love it, Dirty Air. That's dope, man. Big Mike checks in. Xander and the rest of the Jacob fam, guest J-Mac, and great people in the chat lifts my spirits with Eagles talk and all the other subjects. Thank God I found this great show. Big Mike, thank you, bro. Yeah, we're off on a tangent this morning. We talked a lot of football in the first, 40 minutes? But I know people come in and they want to hear some football talk. So I'll talk some football too. I think the Eagles are in a great spot right now. I do think that for sure. I told you guys that. Rambo Krause. That's pretty funny, Sig Lord. He's not a Krause. He's a Conti. Conti. I told you guys, my great-grandparents were directly off the boat from Italy. Both of them, my grandmothers and my grandfathers. Two different parts of Italy. One was Parma, Italy. I forget where the other part of Italy they came from, but first generation. And I'm telling you, man, old school Italian Catholics. They came over, put their flag in the ground and immediately started businesses. That's what they did. They were entrepreneurs through and through. I tell you guys this story all the time. My grandfather liquidated all his credit cards, you know, bought the house in Cape May 50 years ago. We still have the house today. You know, bought it for 68 grand or whatever it was. So it's pretty cool. I got to meet my grandfather. He, very sad. He died of pancreatic cancer one month after my mom's wedding. So he knew something was wrong. All right. And he was sick, but he waited hard. My mom got married to my father, obviously. And then they went on their honeymoon and they had to leave their honeymoon early. Because my grandfather passed, yeah. So he passed exactly one month after their wedding day. You know, they left their honeymoon early to come home and be with him. Yep. Very sad story, but I would have loved to have gotten to meet him. The stories I hear of that man are incredible. The stories I hear are really incredible. That's awesome, Joe. I think I have some Polish in me. You know, people think I have German in me, but I actually don't think I do. I'll tell you the story. My last name is obviously Krauss. You guys know that by now. But my dad's father, who left my dad when he was 8 years old, walked out of the house. That's why, you know, I love when people shit on my pops. I'm like, you know, my pops grew up in the projects, all right, with no dad. He was delivering newspapers at 9 years old to help his mom pay the bills, who was a factory worker. My dad came from legitimately nothing, nothing, you know, so... Yeah, he always says, we don't got to be rich, man. Trust me, I made it out. I got five beautiful kids and my family all loves one another. That's all I want in life. But my dad came from that. And his father, who I don't, you know, I don't, my dad didn't know him really. You know, he left him when he was 8 years old. He was adopted. So, like, I don't know what his real, like, lineage was. I've never done one of those 23andMe tests. So, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Krauss was an adopted name for my dad's dad. So what would that make what my dad was? You know what I mean? I don't know. It's tough to gauge on that. It's tough to gauge. It's interesting how that goes, though. It's tough to hear. It's interesting to hear how that goes. So I don't know if I have any German in me, actually. I know Krauss is obviously a German name, but that doesn't mean I'm German. I think I got more Italian in me than anything. Big respect, big joke. My dad's a legend, Abe. And more importantly, he's the best dad in the world. All right. He's the best dad in the world, man. He does everything for all his kids, all five of us. But listen, life is a funny way of happening to everybody, right? Like I was trying to remember that. Everybody's got life going on, man. Everybody. So no doubt. Your dad is wise, healthy and loving children. Family is as rich as anyone could hope for it. Facts, Wayne the Pain. Facts, man. Facts. Absolutely. Dirty Air says, my mom's side's all Italian. My great-grandfather raised my mom. I only knew him for about 8 years before he died, but I have so many core values and memories from him. I believe it, man. I really believe it. Nothing like an Italian grandparent, right? I had two grandparents. I never met either of my grandfathers. Doesn't that suck? I never had a grandfather. Never had a grandfather. So, but the greatest human I've ever met in my life, my greatest person I've ever had in my life was my Nana. She passed, I want to say 10 years ago now. I was a senior in high school when she passed. She was the greatest woman on the planet, an old school Italian woman, the most loving great grandmother in the world. Obviously, I just told you the story of her husband who passed. So she lived, I want to say, 25, 30 years without him. But she was the greatest lady in the world, man. She really was the greatest lady in the world. I miss her dearly. She's one woman I will miss till the day I die. I always tell my girl now, if there's one person I wish you could have met, it would be my Nana. My Nana was a special lady, man. Zay, you should have your dad on. Yeah, we'll, man. I'll do that. That'd be fun, Sigler. I don't know if I'd do it with Johnny Mac, but I would do it. Maybe like a father-son show would be pretty cool. Pretty cool to do. All right? So, we'll see. All right. I appreciate all you guys, man. I love all you guys. Good show this morning. We talked about Eagles. For those who are looking for the Eagles talk, we did talk about it the first 40 minutes. Rewind and you'll be able to hear it. We'll have a full night show tonight, 6 to 8 p.m., Birds 365. And then 2 to 6 today, National Football Show. So we've had a great week. Good month. I mean, we closed out. July's a little slow, as always, but we closed out pretty strong. Training camp started in the high gear, and now we are officially in the high gear. So that's how it goes, man. I'm excited for it. I'm ready for it. And we got a lot of stuff going. A lot of good stuff coming in August. I feel it. I feel it from a business perspective, from an Eagles perspective, from a personal perspective for all of you and for me, myself as well. And I'm going to continue to grind and do what I got to do to keep making this a great place for you guys to be. All right. I want to thank Dad. Daz, are you in here? Is Daz in here? All right. Is Daz in here? Secunda says, glad we all have an appreciation for immigrants. Absolutely, Secunda. I do. Secunda, I don't let all the political nature of the world today make me forget like the truth. You know what I mean? I think people become such a monolith with like what they identify as. They can't like have a mind that can think about things in different ways, you know, conceptualize things, think about things. So I'm a human first, you know. Amen, Big Mike. Secunda always ruining the mood. LOL. Great week of shows. Enjoy your weekend, Big Z. We'll be working, man. I got some work to do. We have off Saturday. We'll have a show on Sunday. I think I'm actually heading down the Jersey Shore to be with my girl this weekend. I haven't seen her in a couple weeks. I miss my beautiful girl. I got to go and see her. So she's down in Ocean City. I'll be heading down there and doing that. And then I'm ready to rock, man. So I'll be going. I think I'm going to Ocean City just for the day tomorrow because I got the night show tonight. So I'm working till at least 8:39 tonight, probably later. And then we'll have some good stuff. Primo, what's up, man? Appreciate you being here. Saw your photo on X. Loved it. Primo's down in Florida. He's just chilling in the pool on a hot, sunny summer day watching Big Sills. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. All right? You gotta love it. Love the show. Yo, Wayne. Wayne, you must have been gone this summer. All right? Because you were chirping me for my awesome hat. And I will make sure everybody knows what this hat is. First off, you're wrong, Wayne. Okay? First off, you're wrong, Wayne. This hat is electric. This hat is absolutely electric. So first thing I'll tell you is it's one thing to be objectively wrong. And that you are, Wayne. This hat is fucking fire. But the story on this hat, Wayne, I saw you chirping it the other day. This is my dog died this summer, Wayne, which is very sad. I did not expect my dog to die this year. I got my dog in college. He was 8 years old. Way too early for him to die, and he was the greatest dog on the planet. He really was. He was fucking awesome. I mean, I know everybody says they got the best dog, but not everybody had a dog like me. My dog was truly electric. Everybody in my family cried because they loved him. Like that, my dog was so dope. But this hat looks like my dog. He was black and white, and it looks like my dog. So I immediately went on and bought this. This is it in like kind of Kango style. And I bought the bucket hat. So these are my Johnson Kangos, I call them. Look. And this is him. This is an old picture of my boy. He looks, the more I've looked at it, the more I realize how old he looks in this photo. But there's my boy, man. You can see he's black and white. So that's where the hat comes from. And that is why I bought the hat. That's why I bought all three of the hats. Because I love my dog, man. I wasn't ready for my dog to die. I really wasn't. He was such a dope dog. But if you're a dude like me, you know, like I don't need to go out to bars and do things. Like I got my family, I got my brother, I got my beautiful girl, and I had my dog. Like in my family. Like that's all I needed in life. My dog was truly one of my best friends. You know, he listened to my ass, man. He let me vent to him. So I miss him. But it was that's the story of the hat. I appreciate all you guys though. All right. I don't know what you're asking, Tyler Connors, there. All right, I appreciate all you guys. I love all you guys. Classic Italian goodbye twist. Takes 28 minutes, but that's how it goes here on the show. All right, wouldn't change it for the world. Appreciate each and every one of you. Hit the like button, everybody. Love all you guys. We'll be live 2 o'clock with National Football Show, and we'll be live 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. On Birds 365. Actually, give me 1 second. I have to do the little production on the fly. I got to pull the clip of Johnny Mac. So let me pull that so I can post it. All right. I'll pull that so I can post it. And then once I do that, I'm done. I'm out of here. All right. J Mac. All right, pulled. Thank you all very much. I appreciate all you guys. I love all you guys. See you next time, everybody.
EAGLES, Eagles.